This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
May I now invite Brother Elijah to read for us today's passage.
Okay, good morning, church. Today's scripture reading will be taken from Lamentations chapter 4. The scripture will be on the slides, but I'll give you all some time to flip to on the blue Bibles. It's page 828. If not, you can just look at the slides. Okay, let's hear the word of God. Lamentations chapter 4. How the gold has lost its lust, and the fine gold become dull. The sacred gems are scattered at every street corner. How the precious children of Zion, once worth their weight in gold, are now considered as pots of clay, the work of a potter's hands. Even jackals offer their breasts to nurse their young, but my people have become heartless, like ostriches in the desert. Because of thirst, the infant's tongue sticks to the roof of its mouth. The children beg for bread, but no one gives it to them. Those who once ate delicacies are destitute in the streets. Those brought up in royal purple now lie on ash heaps. The punishment of my people is greater than that of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment without a hand turned to help her. Their princes were brighter than snow and whiter than milk. Their bodies more ruddy than rubies, their appearance like lapis lazuli. But now they are blacker than soot. They are not recognized in the streets. Their skin has shriveled on their bones. It has become as dry as a stick. Those killed by the sword are better off than those who die of famine. Wrecked with hunger, they waste away for lack of food from the field. With their own hands, compassionate women have cooked their own children, who have become their food when my people were destroyed. The Lord has given full vent to his wrath. He has poured out his fierce anger. He has kindled a fire in Zion that consumed her foundations. The kings of the earth did not believe, nor did any of the peoples of the world. The enemies and foes could enter the gates of Jerusalem. But it happened because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests, who shed within her the blood of the righteous. Now they grope through the streets as if they were blind. They are so defiled with blood that no one dares to touch their garments. Go away, you are unclean, people cry to them. Away, away, don't touch us. When they flee and wander about, people among the nations say, they can stay here no longer. The Lord himself has scattered them. He no longer watches over them. The priests are shown no honor, the elders no favor. Moreover, our eyes failed, looking in vain for help. From our towers we watched for a nation that could not save us. People stalked us at every step, so we could not walk in our streets. Our end was near, our days were numbered, for our end has come. Our pursuers were swifter than eagles in the sky. They chased us over the mountains and lay in wait for us in the desert. The Lord's anointed, our very life breath, was caught in their traps. We thought that under his shadow we would live among the nations. Rejoice and be glad, daughter Edom, you who live in the land of Uz. But to you also the cup will be passed. You will be drunk and stripped naked. Your punishment will end, daughter Zion. He will not prolong your exile, but he will punish your sin, daughter Edom, and expose your wickedness. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. As we turn to God's word, let me pray and ask God to help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word preached, may our wandering thoughts be fixed on you, and may our flat and cold desires quickened to fervent longings and thirstings after you. For your glory and our growth, in Jesus' name, amen. Last week I shared that in June, I went to Cambodia. I took a plane to Cambodia. And on this flight, I noticed something. Okay, so now, before the plane takes off, we always see this seatbelt sign. The seatbelt sign will tell us, keep your seatbelts on until it's safe to take off. After the plane reaches a certain altitude, the seatbelt sign will go off, Normally, at this point, I'll hear the clicking sound of everyone removing their seat belts. Click, 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 click. But this time, when the seatbelt sign went off, I heard nothing. I heard nothing. No one was taking off their seatbelts. Now, why was that? I think it's because of SQ Flight 321. Now, on 20th of May, SQ Flight 321 was flying from London to Singapore, and it was suddenly caught in terrible turbulence. And all the passengers were in the plane. They were not wearing seatbelts. They were very suddenly thrown up from their seats, and then very suddenly landed, thrown back down onto the ground. So dozens of people were injured. One person died. And what one expert said afterwards, that no matter what light is on, we should always be wearing our seatbelts, because you never know when you need to be wearing your seatbelts. And so I listened to the instruction, and I kept my seatbelt on for the flight. So friends, learning from the past can help us avoid mistakes in the future. And that's what we do. Right? That's what we do at our schools. We learn from, some of you, you take your exams and you learn from your past mistakes in your exams, so that you will not make mistakes in your, I don't know, big exams like the O-levels or the A-levels. We get feedback at work so that we don't make mistakes next time when a bigger issue comes up. So we learn from the past to avoid mistakes in the future. And that's what's going on in Lamentations chapter 4. But Lamentations chapter 4 wants to go a bit more than that. Lamentations chapter 4 wants God's people to grieve the past so that they will not face grief in the future. So that's the call for the people in the past. And that's also that's a call for us today. You and I must feel the horrors of the past so that we can avoid the horrors, we can avoid grief in future. Now, what's going on in the book of Lamentations? Now, in the book of long before the book of Lamentations, God made the Jews his special people. God made promises to bless them if they obeyed, and God's people promised to obey him. But God's people rebelled against God over and over again over the many centuries. So after a long, long time, God decided he's going to send the Babylonian army to defeat his people. And how the Babylonian army did it is this. So they lay siege to the capital, Jerusalem, for 18 months. And after that, they destroyed Jerusalem's walls, they destroyed the temple, they killed many people. And most of the exiles were taken, most of the survivors were taken into exile. Now the book of Lamentations is the survivor's song. A survivor's song to help the survivors express their grief, to grieve their loss, put their hurts into words, to help them to take ownership of their sin. That's what that's what we saw last week, because it's they that have sinned, and to see that God is just in his judgment. Now, friends, God's judgment on the Jews is not the first time God judged people. This has actually happened before. You see, long before the events of Lamentations chapter 4, humanity rebelled against God's good rule. So God placed this world that we live in under a curse. And this is the world that we still live in today. So for us today, our world is still under God's curse. We still haven't, this curse still hasn't been lifted. That's why things don't work. That's why we hurt. That's why we grieve. That's why there is death. And this current judgment that we face points us forward to the worst judgment to come, for God's judgment on rebels. That judgment will be eternity in hell. So for you and I, we are not suffering under the judgment from Babylon, but you and I are suffering from God's curse on the world, and this is supposed to help us to take the warning for the future judgment. And for those of us who came last week, you might have expected Lamentations chapter 3 to end at chapter 3. Because the singer sang that God's steadfast love for his people never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And God will end the exile. But God's people just need to wait for God to do something about it. But as the survivors, as they wait in their pain, the singer gives them one more song in Lamentations chapter 4. One more lesson to learn. To sing one more survivor song to grieve the past so that they will avoid grief in future. And after learning this song in chapter 4, the singer gives the God's people the song in chapter 5. So after learning to grieve, they learn in chapter 5 to corporately cry out to God for help. Until then, this song has two parts, the horror and the help. The horrors they faced and the help they need. So the horrors in chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 1 to 16. So in this part of the song, the singer helps God's people, the survivors, reflect on the Babylonian siege. Now Jerusalem was a fortress built on top of the hill. So to attack a hill, some of you in army will know, to attack a city on the hill, it's actually very difficult. What you need to do is first, you must carry your weapons, your equipment, and rush up the hill. And then after that, whatever energy you have left, you have to use that energy to somehow break down the enemy's walls while trying to avoid the enemy's arrows. So it was very difficult. So the Babylonians, they didn't do that. What they did is they lay siege to the city. So what siege means is that the army surrounded the hill around where the city is so that nobody can go out to buy food and bring it in. So what happened to the food supply in the city? It slowly dwindles. So the city starves until people give up and surrender. And this siege went on for 18 months. So Lamentations 4 helps God's exiled survivors reflect on this period of judgment, this part of God's judgment on them, reflect on the siege so that they will not want to suffer God's judgment in future because God's judgment is horrific. And what happens is people are devalued. Look at verse 4. How the precious children of Zion, once worth their weight in gold, are now considered as pots of clay, the work of a potter's hands. Now, people are precious. God made us, the Bible says, God made us in his image. God made us to reflect who God is. So we are important to God. And because we are important to God, we must be important to one another. We are valuable. Now, verse 2 says, the value of God's people has fallen. From the value of to be like gold, precious, precious gold, to be like common clay, worthless. Even the most honored priests in verse 7, they used to look full of life, full of color. But listen to their reversal. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. Listen to all the different colors. Their princes were brighter than snow and whiter than milk. Their bodies were more ruddy than rubies. That's a red jewel. Their appearance, like lapis lazuli. That's a blue jewel. But now they are blacker than soot. They're not recognized in the streets. Their skin has shriveled on their bones. It has become as dry as a stick. From full of color to become black. Just black. Black as soot. Because of all the dirt, all the grime that's on them, they're now like rubbish. Even the most honored among them, even the princes, the king's sons, they're like rubbish. All useless, all worthless, all no value. So people devalued, and under God's judgment, people are devoured. People are devoured because there's no food. You see, I said just how the siege cut off food supply from outside, and the food inside slowly dwindles. And we see a picture of that. You look at verse 4. You see the mothers, they have no food, so they have got no milk to give their children, the infants. And the children, they're begging for food, but they have nothing. No one has anything to give them. And the city's starvation gets worse. It's so bad that even the most compassionate mothers have to make the difficult choice. Instead of cooking to feed people, they cook people. Verse 10, with their own hands, compassionate mother, woman, have cooked their own children, who became their food when my people were destroyed. Now, even compassionate women have cooked their children. Now, for all of us, can you imagine what it would take for your mother to cook you? Now, this starvation was... Okay, so yes. You can ask your mom to see what it would take. Now, the starvation is so severe that it tears apart even the most tender, the most caring of human relationships between a mother and a child. And please, don't just think about the mother and the child. Because if the compassionate mothers are cooking their children, can you imagine what everyone else is doing? Everyone else must be doing far worse to survive. If family is eating family, then all human relationships are all torn apart, all broken. Nobody cares about anybody anymore. Everyone becomes food. Now, this situation is horrific. This survivor song really is a horror song. In the midst of this horror survivor song, the singer includes the source of the horrors. You see, where do these horrors come from? It comes from God. These judgments have come from God. Verse 11, the Lord has given full vent to his wrath. He has poured out his fierce anger. He has kindled a fire in Zion that has consumed her foundations. So this is what a city under God's judgment looks like. People are devalued. People are devoured. Like the whole society, humanity doesn't care about each other anymore. The whole city is overturned. The city destroys itself. And the survivors, many years later, they must feel the full, as they sing Lamentations 4, they must feel the full horror of God's judgment again in the past, so that they will avoid the horror of God's judgment in the future. They grieve the past to avoid grief in the future. God's judgment on his people, Lamentations 4, this is a picture of the future judgment that is to come. See, when Jesus comes again, Jesus will separate those who believe in Jesus from those who don't believe in Jesus. Those who believe in Jesus will be with Jesus in heaven. Those who don't believe in Jesus will be cast into hell forever to face God's judgment. Now, some of you know I serve also as a children's ministry teacher. So sometimes at children's ministry, we let the children ask any questions. Ask me any questions about Christianity, and we'll do our best to answer them. And one time, this child asked me this, Teacher Nick, one of my friends said, I don't want to go to heaven because all my friends don't believe in Jesus, all my friends are in hell. So I don't want to go to heaven and be alone in heaven. I'd rather be in hell with all my friends. And what would you say to this child? Now, Lamentations 4 gives us the word to say. Lamentations 4 shows us that God's judgment is horrific. Lamentations 4 shows us how bad it was on earth, where God's judgment on earth dissolves everything that's good, tears apart everything that's good, even human relationships. So even the mother will eat her child. And if this happened on earth, well, then good friendships will surely not survive in hell. Hell will be far worse. God's judgment is horrific. But why did God bring this horrific judgment on the people? Look at verse 13. Verse 13 gives us the reason. Do you see what it says? Verse 13. But it happened because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests, who shed within her the blood of the righteous. So this passage tells us, verse 13 says, it's because of the leaders. It's because of the prophets, because of the priests. The prophets, the sin of the prophets. The prophets, they were supposed to tell people what God said. The priests, they're supposed to offer sacrifices to atone for sin. Now, these two groups of people, the priests and the prophets, they're supposed to be the closest to God. They're supposed to be the ones to be the anti-sin group. But they refuse to honor God by telling people to repent. You see, in Jeremiah chapter 26, we read just now how they persecuted Jeremiah, God's true prophet. And not just Jeremiah, the other prophets too. They persecuted prophets for warning about sin. And they even wanted to kill Jeremiah for telling people to repent. The leaders sinned, and they led Jerusalem into sin, to sin against God. And that's why the God's people faced the horrors of God's judgment. And God also brought justice on the leaders. You see, the prophets, they're also called seers, because they can see into the future. But what happened to them in verse 14? What happened to their seeing? Verse 14. Now they grope through the streets as if they were blind. The prophets, they're now blind. And the priests, they're supposed to judge whether someone is clean and acceptable to God or not. If someone had a skin disease, then the priests are supposed to assess them to be unclean. And then the unclean person will go around and shout, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that no one will touch them. Now, being unclean is a picture of sin, of being rejected by God. In verse 14, it says that these priests, they're supposed to wear this nice priestly garment that's white and then that's full of gemstones on the chest. But these priests, they have defiled this white priestly garment with the blood of murder. So verse 14, the second half, they are so defiled with blood that no one dares to touch their garments. And God's judgment on the unclean priests is ironic. See, instead of them pronouncing that other people are unclean, now it's the world. The world stands and points at the priest and say, "You are unclean." Verse 15, "Go away, you are unclean," the people cry to them. "Away, away, don't touch us." When they flee and wander about, people among the nations say, "They can stay here no longer." Everywhere they go, people will shun them. The priests will be deported. They will have nowhere to stay. They wander about from place to place. There is no rest. That's the horrors of bad leaders. So for God's people singing Lamentations 4, they need to learn to avoid the horrific judgment. And to avoid horrific judgment, they must avoid horrific leaders. Now, I wonder how the Jews would feel as they sung Lamentations 4. How would the survivors feel? They lost their loved ones, their relatives. Maybe their relatives were eaten by their parents. So they lost loved ones during that time. How would they feel about this whole thing? I think they would feel angry. They would feel angry. Why? Because this whole thing, this whole judgment could have been avoided if they had good leaders. I think God's people will be really angry at their bad leaders. Leaders who rejected God. Leaders who refused to submit to God's word. And these bad leaders led the people to reject God, to sin against God. And they brought the horrors of God's judgment on God's people and on themselves. So the survivors, they will then grieve the past, where the bad leaders mislead them, so that in future, they will avoid future grief by following good leaders. Leaders who submit to God. Leaders who lead people to confess sin. Leaders who lead people in repentance. And you and I need the lessons of Lamentations 4 to avoid bad leaders. See, in the New Testament, God warns us. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. False teachers will come among God's people. And they come among God's people secretly. They say, "Hey, you know this secret about God. Let me share with you." and people will follow them. Now, the internet has given us access to many good and faithful Bible teachers. But the internet has also given false teachers access to you. Why? Because the false teachers just need someone to fix things up for them. I mean, they just need a good search engine optimization. Or they pay for ads on social media or Spotify to target you, Christians. And then when you start listening, you start watching their videos, the algorithms will make sure that that's all you watch. Now, no false teacher will come and say, "Hey guys, I'm a false teacher." But following false teachers will lead you away from Jesus. Lead you into destruction, as 2 Peter says. Even to hell. So instead of figuring out for yourself whether this person is a true or false teacher, but why not involve more people? Because you see, their strategy is secrecy. Why not bring their teaching into the light? Why not ask your Bible study leaders or pastors to figure things out with you? If your ministry leaders affirm him, well, then everyone can benefit from this person's ministry. But if your leaders show you from the Bible that this person is a false teacher, you better avoid him. In my previous church, there was a youth who was approached by a cult. Now, this cult is on the street. So this cult says that there is God the Father, there is God the Son, and there is God the Mother. Now, this cult was very insistent that this youth's church was wrong about the Bible, wrong about Jesus, wrong about keeping the law. Only their church has the truth. And no other church knows the truth about God. And this youth really didn't know how to answer. But this youth did the right thing. He asked his youth leaders, and his youth leaders showed him from the Bible that this cult was wrong. So this youth avoided future grief by following bad leaders. But friends, learn the lessons of Lamentations 4. Grieve the past to avoid grief in future. Feel the horrors of God's judgment because bad leaders have misled the nation. And avoid bad leaders today. So we just sung about the horrors of God's judgment. God's judgment on Jerusalem was horrific. The siege devastated the land. And God's people, as they sought a solution. But their first instinct was to seek a bad solution. They wanted to trust, they wanted to get help from another country, maybe Egypt or maybe another country around them. But that country did not help them. Look at verse 17. "Moreover, our eyes failed, looking in vain for help. From our towers we watched for a nation that could not save us." God's people looked and looked and looked. They watched from the high watchtowers, and they watched and watched. But they watched in vain. No one could save them. No nation came forward to save them. And because there was no one to help them, they were hunted. And they were thought they were going to die. In verse 18, they said, "Our end was near. Our days were numbered. For our end had come." They thought that was the end for them. In verse 19, their pursuers chased them despite all difficulties. No mountain, no desert could stop the pursuers from chasing God's people. And the worst part, verse 20. "The Lord's anointed, our very breath, was caught in their traps. We thought that under his shadow, we would live among the nations." Now, some of us are familiar with chess. In a game of chess, you might have all the best pieces, like you might try to preserve your queen. But once you lose your king, you lose. You lose the game. In this passage, verse 20, the king was lost. You see, the king is the Lord's anointed. Verse 20 says the king was like the people's breath. But he was caught. So when the people was caught, it's like the people cannot breathe anymore. People have lost all hope in life. And on top of that, it seems that God's promise to have a forever line of kings from King David ended. See, God promised long ago, for example, in Psalms 89, verse 4, this is what God said, "I will establish your line forever. I will make your throne firm through all generations." But God promised King David that the line of kings descended from them will rule forever. But after the siege, it sounds like the line has ended. The Babylonians, they caught King David's descendant, King Zedekiah, and they killed King Zedekiah's sons. So it sounds like this line of kings was in trouble. And all this came because God's people sinned against God. And God's people sinned against God because they were following poor leaders. So God's people need to lament their poor choice. And they need to lament in this part of the passage that they trusted, not in God, but they trusted in another army to save them. That didn't work and led them to a worse state. Help only comes from God, who ends the exile. So because God has power over the nation, so verse 21 and verse 22, God has the power to end the people's judgment. God has power to bring judgment on Edom, another nation. Verse 21, "Rejoice and be glad, daughter Edom, you who live in the land of Uz. But to you also the cup will be passed. You will be drunk and stripped naked. Your punishment will end, daughter Zion. He will not prolong your exile, but he will punish your sin, daughter Edom, and expose your wickedness." Now, Edom was one of the countries around Jerusalem. When the exile happened, when Babylon is attacking, what was Edom doing? Well, the first thing that we see in the Bible is that Edom was making fun of Jerusalem as Babylon was attacking. And on top of that, after the exile, Edom came in and attacked whoever was left and took away whatever they had. And this passage says that as God's people Zion, they suffered the horrors of God's punishment, and the same way, Edom will suffer that too. Now, a few people have asked me, well, why is Edom judged here? Why doesn't the passage talk about Babylon, the main perpetrator of this? I've read quite a few commentaries, and they all say different things. But the best answer, the clearest answer I can see from this text is that we see how the just God acts against sin. So verse 22 says, "The just God will punish sin." So if God shows justice against the sinful Edom, then God will also judge the other nations of the rest of the world for their sin, including Babylon and all the other nations. But for God's people, Zion, verse 22 says that their punishment will end. Their exile will end. In the Bible, God promised that exile would end in 70 years. And after 70 years, it did. And during this time, this 70 years, the survivors, they must keep looking to God to save them from the horrors of judgment. 70 years after the exile, God's people returned to the land. They rebuilt God's temple. They rebuilt the city. And you expect them to learn the lessons of Lamentations for well. I mean, to grieve the past, to avoid grief in the future. But God's people didn't. You see, God's leaders continue to sin. Malachi chapter 2 is the last book of the Old Testament, and this is what God says through Malachi. "For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, because he is a messenger of the Lord Almighty, and people seek instruction from his mouth. But you have turned away from the way, by your teaching, caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty." So the leaders of God's people, the priests, they have preached falsely, they have lived wrongly, and they continue to mislead. This in this passage says they stumble God's people about God. Not just that, years later, God's leaders even shed innocent blood. God's leaders acted as the enemies and executed David's descendant on the cross. That descendant is Jesus. Jesus was the Lord's anointed, that the leaders caught and killed. Ironically, by executing Jesus, these leaders helped to bring about God's salvation for his people. Because death could not hold him. After Jesus died, he rose from the dead. After he rose from the dead, this is what Jesus says that he did. Jesus told them, this is what is written, the Messiah, that's the King. The King will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Jesus is our help from the horror of judgment. Jesus is the only one who can secure forgiveness of sins by his death and resurrection, so that you and I won't have to face God's judgment. Friends, Lamentations 4 is also our song. It's also relevant for us today, for us to grieve the past to avoid grief in future. Now, some of us might be like Edom today. Some of us might be living in rebellion against God and not following what God's, ignoring the God of the Bible, living the way we want, not believing in Jesus. Lamentations 4 warns us that God, if you continue this way, God will punish you like Jerusalem for your sin. Some of us may be like sinful Zion singing this song and being tempted to follow false teachers who tell you adjust your view of Jesus just by this little bit. But you adjust your view of Jesus just by that little bit, you are following a false Jesus. This false Jesus will not save you. But friends, wherever you are, Lamentations 4 also gives you hope. That wherever you are, however far you have gone, that there is hope in Jesus for horrors. Trust in friends. Grieve the past to avoid grief in future. How? Trust in Jesus, our help from the horrors. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for warning us by your word, comforting us where we have gone astray. Please help us to trust in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for the sermon. We will now have the reflection questions on the screen. What have you learned about lament today? What warning does this passage have for us today? Do take a look and have a chat with others over lunch later.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.